Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Los Angeles Regional Adult Education Open Meeting on this October 14, 2016. My name is Emilio Uriasti. I'm the Director of Adult Education here at the Burbank Adult School, and I will be leading the meeting or chairing the meeting this afternoon. We will start off with the Pledge of Allegiance, and I'd like to ask Elvis Garias to please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May be seated. We have one member who is on her way, and that is Kathy from Montebello is on her way. So we will nonetheless get started. And we have the minutes from September 9th, 2016 open meeting. Do we have a motion?
Yeah, I'd like to move that we adopt the minutes.
I second.
Okay. And do we have any changes or revisions?
So just in terms of the executive committee members in attendance, do we want to add that Adrienne Mullen was there in place of Dr. Mullen?
So noted.
Okay, do we have any other changes or any corrections?
No.
No? Hearing none? Okay. All those in favor of approving the minutes with the corrections as indicated, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And our minutes are approved. And we will now have a work group presentation. Is that correct, Mr. Asturias?
No. Actually, we're going to talk about the work group's scheduled meetings. And that's, as most of the items in the agenda today are, it's just an informative point, if you will.
Okay.
Okay, so basically what that agenda item indicates is that as we had the orientation for the work groups on October 7th, we requested that every work group put together a set of meetings that they were going to be attending in order to do the work of the consortium. We have that information, we have collected that information, and what we will do with it is we will put it on the website, so that way there is transparency and everyone is informed as to when the meetings will be taking place. So look forward to that on the website. The meetings start as early as October 17th, and they go through the end of the year. One of the work groups actually went ahead and did schedule all of their meetings through June of next year.
So just to clarify, so who is sort of allowed or to attend the work groups?
All of the executive team is allowed to, or is welcome to, observe during the work group's meetings. However, the participation is allowed only for the work group members that have already been selected, and any guest speaker that they may have, or ad hoc committee that they put together.
So what you're saying is you don't want my input at those meetings.
We welcome your input anytime.
So executive team members, just to be clear, can attend as observers to the work group meetings?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Anytime.
Yeah, I think that's a wonderful idea to have that posted on the website so everyone's aware of what's happening. In terms of, you know, work products or various artifacts that may be covered at the meetings, is the plan to have that posted online as well?
Yes. We do have a set of deliverables that is yet to be posted. That's for the first half of the year. We will be posting those. And at the end of, or by the deadline of the current deliverables, those items will be posted there as well.
Would it be fair to ask, I know the ESL work group, would you mind if I ask you a question about that?
No, please do.
I know that the ESL work group has been very involved. Can you share where they are right now in terms of their work?
Absolutely. So, so most of last year, the ESL work group spent aligning their curriculum for the K-12 districts. That work has been done and it's completed. However, as we came to an end of that task, we noticed that because we had separated the work in various to do by various teams, the level of consistency between course outlines was not what we had expected. So we have tasked him at this point that the work that they have been feverishly trying to complete and that they should be completing by the end of this month is to give the same look and feel to each one of the course outlines. So we want to be a set of course outlines, not individual course outlines, and to have coherence for the entire suite of course outlines from level 1 through level 6.
And I thought I heard something that particularly I'm interested in for Burbank is I thought I heard that there is assessment work that's also being done for ESL.
Yes, we actually, one section of the work group focused on the course outlines, the other section of the work group focus on aligning assessment and integrating assessment. They, at the end of the of last year, came up with some recommendations. The recommendations were brought forward at two open meetings ago, and the recommendations have been put on hold at this point simply because now it appears that the state is going to be providing us with some additional guidelines, maybe a suite of assessments that that we are to use. So we are waiting to hear from the LERIC summit, from the AEBG summit in Sacramento in November. I believe that they may be making an announcement as far as assessments is concerned at that time. Depending on what the announcement is and depending on what the guidance is about assessments, then we will revive the recommendations from the ESL group to see how they fit in with the new recommendations from the state.
Yeah, I'd like to make a suggestion. Perhaps some of the LERIC members may want to chime in. You know, in terms of the course outlines, I know there's been some discussion about really focusing on, when we look at alignment courses, really around competencies, making them mastery-based, competency-based, you know, versus focusing on a particular assessment or set of assessments. So I just kind of wanted to see if there was, you know, maybe from the workgroup side or even from the LARIC board members here, what the thinking might be, you know, in terms of focusing our efforts around that work versus sort of more of a high-stakes type assessment, which in the end, the state may dictate anyway, if right. That makes sense.
Yes, if I may add to that, that was one of the considerations that the work group took in to begin with, alignment of the course outlines, which was, you know, this is to be a set of competency-based course outlines. And it is my understanding that that is what they have put together. I forgot to mention that in addition to that, they're also putting together a grammar guide that is level-based to complement the course outline. But because of the changing environment in Sacramento, so, you know, we get different information at different times, and so that sort of extends the work that needs to be done. So a lot more information to come, particularly now that the work groups have been have started their work.
Any other questions regarding the work groups and scheduled meetings? No? All right. Well, let's turn now to item number 5 on our agenda, which is the inter-district training, CalPRO.
Absolutely. Thank you. And basically, we wanted to bring to the attention of the executive team and the public that we are looking into having CalPRO provide some of that inter-district training that we have been talking about. There are two particular subjects that we know that CalPRO does very well, and that we are interested in asking them to customize for the LARIC team. That would be professional learning communities and integrated education and training. The work groups are already doing a lot of work similar to professional learning communities. In fact, it could be said that they are a professional learning community. The work that they're doing is slightly different from a professional learning community, so we're going to ask CalPRO to customize that to the work that the work groups are currently doing. Integrated education and training has to do with the implementation of integrated trainings, which is basic skills and, say, CTE skills concurrently. So again, as we implement our career pathways at the schools the career pathways that we created last year and will be integrated into many of the schools and into the LARIC schools this year, then in order to add additional points of entry via VESL courses and VAE courses, then CalPRO's training would be very helpful to help make that happen. The last item in there is online professional development, and we are suggesting the implementation of Schoology, which is a learning management system. Of course, we will be evaluating the viability of bringing such the viability and the utility of integrating such system into the work that the work groups are already doing, and perhaps expanding it to faculty and teachers as well. Any questions on any of those items?
No questions? Okay. Thank you, sir. And so we'll move on now to item number 6. Which is the open meeting locations. And we can see on here when our meetings are scheduled. Our next meeting is November 4th, and it is at the Los Angeles Community College's site at what I would call the old Vandy Camp Bakery, but it's a beautiful site, historical actually. And Dr. Mullen has always been a gracious host there, and so we look forward to meeting there on the 4th. And then there's no meeting in December, and I guess we would say we're dark in December. And then on January 13th, we're meeting in beautiful Montebello. And in February, we're back to the Vandy Camp location. And then on March 10th, we're at a site yet to be identified, hosted by Los Angeles Unified School District. On April 7th, we're back at Montebello. And then on May 12th, we're here in beautiful downtown Burbank. And on June 9th, we are again at a site to be identified by the Los Angeles Unified School District. And the meetings all start at 1 o'clock. And so we look forward to these, and you can place these on your calendars. So any questions about our open meeting locations? Seeing none, we will turn then to item number 7, which is LARIC's first annual conference ad hoc committee. And Mr. Asturias, is that something you're going to address?
Yes, okay. Just to provide you with a quick update. As of last open meeting, you had provided the point persons team with approval to proceed with the conference, which has been tentatively scheduled for March 11th of next year. And what we would like to do at this point, we have already discussed this with the point persons team, is to develop or to create an ad hoc team to help us with the logistics of putting together the conference. We do have, we hope that we will have representatives from every district in the ad hoc team. The Division of Adult and Career Education has traditionally put in a number of conferences, so we actually have some folks that are well adept to do this, and they are have volunteered to participate and are, you know, very eager and certainly capable of providing us with some desperately needed help.
Yeah, so, and sorry to interrupt. So the, obviously, aside from the obvious of why we would want to do this, it is actually mentioned in our LARIC plan to actually have this conference that would be open to the 5 districts, correct?
That is correct.
Yes.
It's actually mentioned on the 3-year plan, and it's also mentioned on the yearly plan that was turned into the state in September, and that has been approved as well.
Any has any thought been given to time frame for the conference and maybe identifying some locations regionally?
Not at this time. There have been some preliminary discussions about it, some names for possible keynote speakers, some possible locations and whatnot, but we haven't firmed anything up as of yet. What we are hoping to do is that now that we have, and if we have the go-ahead to move forward with the implementation of the ad hoc committee, then we will come up with a list of suggestions that we have, bring them forward to the executive team for your approval.
Just a crazy thought. We have a March 10th open public meeting. Now we have this event on March 11th. Is there any way that we could actually have an open public meeting as part of that, because we'll have the most participation we've ever had in terms of at least having the people from all the districts? I mean, maybe we don't need it to be a 2-hour board meeting, and it doesn't look like this one will be, but it just would be an opportunity for all of the different districts to be present at what one of them looks like, and maybe that'll spark their interest to come to additional ones. we do appreciate your presence. We do appreciate your presence, but might open it up to other people. Just a thought.
Absolutely. I think that's an outstanding idea.
I agree.
I second that.
Okay, so if that is the consensus, then we will pursue that then as part of the conference. I think that's a very exciting suggestion.
So then do we want to, at this time, go on record as formally changing the date from March 10th to the 11th?
Absolutely.
Do we want to have a vote on that?
Probably consensus, right?
Consensus?
Unless there's any discussion. I think it's a great idea.
Aye. Oh, did we have a...
All those in favor of changing the date from March 10th to March 11th, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Okay. There we go. March 11th. And we have the honor of having Kathy Brinzall here with us. Thank you for
gracing
for joining
with my
us.
Presence. Right. My pleasure.
And if I may just add just the formality that the location, of course, of the meeting will be changed to whatever the location of the conference is.
Okay. I've heard something about Cancun. I don't know whether that's correct or not.
That would be a highly favored location.
Well, I'm sure by all the people who would attend if our districts agreed to pay for them to attend the conference. Travel. I don't know that travel we could justify that.
I'm not sure the state would be too happy with that.
All right, so we're now at item number 8, which is the quarterly expense and progress reports due October 31st.
Yes, and that is just a reminder to all of the districts that the quarter, of course, ended as of September 30th, and the quarterly reports, the quarterly fiscal and progress reports are due 1 month thereafter. So the due date for the quarterly reports is October 31st. Again, a reminder, those reports, as per your direction, need to be certified by the certifying officer from each one of our institutions. Once I receive those reports, which as per our regulations are due on the 15th, then I combine them into one, and then as of right now, we're having LAUSD's CFO certifying on behalf of the consortium.
So by the 15th, do you mean tomorrow?
That is correct. We have a little bit of flexibility on that, and there's a lot of things that have happened as of late, and it does take some time to close the books on each one of our organizations. So if we can officially say by the end of next week, I think that would be sufficient time for us to proceed.
What date is that, Nancy?
That's an excellent question. I believe that's the 21st.
By
October 21st, yes.
Also, our first, there were templates we completed.
That is correct.
So I have the template.
Yes, you do. However, I'll be glad
just making
to,
sure.
I'll be glad
I'm sure
to,
I do.
I'll be glad to send it again so that everybody has the latest copy of the template.
Okay.
No problem.
That's awesome. Thank you. But don't send it to me tomorrow. Send it to me on Monday.
Okay, we'll do. And by the way, just so that you are aware, also, because these things don't happen every day, so we tend to forget a little bit, this report is not to be, it will not be submitted to the state. We do this as an exercise for all of the districts to make sure that we're on top of our reporting. The reporting takes place twice a year. So the next reporting cycle for the state is going to be January 31st. That's when it's due. And of course, it covers through December 31st.
This is a little off topic, but Emilio and I were at a meeting yesterday with AXA, and there is a report due to that the CVE and CCCO have to. A deadline for them to do a report that's due to the legislature.
Yeah.
One of the questions that came up is there any way that the field could see the report. I think it's due October 31st, too, right? Is that your sense? So it's due. So if we could see that, I mean, they're saying probably not, but it's really important in terms of it's the report of how the consortia are doing that the legislature has been asking for, kind of through Carol Liu's office and things like that, that her bill is dead. But they still want to see, you know, what we're saying about accountability, data collection. So if you can see the possibility of us looking at that report, okay, or even the draft of it, anything.
All right. So to operationalize your request, then you would like me to write perhaps an email or a letter on behalf of the consortium requesting to see the report before it's submitted to the state. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Would you like to see that?
Is a member of the audience is asking to address the team.
Can one of our seven listeners is out there?
Yes. Absolutely.
So my understanding that report is being compiled from what was submitted with the annual plans. So every consortium approved their annual plan, and they're extracting information and data from those annual plans compile the report to the legislature. Yes. I don't think they're going to preview it because what that question came up when we were doing our annual plans, and they said the turnaround was so quick that to preview it gives the impression that they are going to make corrections on it, and that's something that they were very concerned about. Mm-hmm. I'm just sharing with you what we have been told in various.
But I think timelines should be established so the field has a chance to look at these things. And like you said, not to, so we're told, you know, corrections, but to see what's happening. I'd like to all the way along.
Because the reality is that they're pulling, as you said, they're pulling information from all of the annual plans. So it would be interesting to see which pieces they decided to pull from each of those different plans.
Yeah, I don't think
the worst that would happen is that we make the request and they say, sorry, we can't do it.
Right, I agree. I don't think there's any harm in asking.
I don't think there's any harm in asking.
I was just sharing how it was.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think these concerns have to be put forth so they maybe pay attention more to it as time goes on, that they're more timely. The field is extremely important in all of this. So to not have the field take a look at what they're, because the legislature is people who are going to like continue our funding and continue the program. I'd like to see what they're saying.
Well, is this, Kathy, is this part of what was mentioned yesterday that would take place at a meeting that was going to be held on November 2nd at the summit?
That's ongoing. They're developing like four different committees, like data, accountability, they're developing that. And that's another thing that if they're developing committees at that point, at that level, field input is vital.
Because one of the things I think that we could certainly do is to contact Neil Kelly and Chris Nelson, requesting that we, as the largest consortium, have someone present attending that meeting on the 2nd. Which is going to facilitate feedback about that preliminary data report to the legislature. And possibly we could have our project manager attend, as well as someone from the executive board on November 2nd. I think
the thing is, we're all there. So we can, even if we can't be part of the committee, be sitting in on that to see what they're doing.
Yeah, my reasoning for that is that as the largest, and I don't say this to boast, but as the largest consortium in the state, everything is so much more complicated for us in terms of data reporting than it would be for a much smaller consortium. And oftentimes I think that is overlooked by the folks that generate these reports. They're well-intentioned, but I think they don't really think about the complexity of a consortium as the size of ours.
That is correct, yes.
So I think having contacting them to request that our project manager and a member of the executive board, I'm not requesting for me to be there, by the way, I think would behoove us to be on top of it and also to engage them at that time that any conversation is taking place about data report.
Absolutely. I think it's instrumental for us to participate. I think that we have a certain viewpoint about all of these transactions that they don't often take into account as they don't have the same level of intricacy, the same level of complexity required for putting all this information together. And that is something that became evident, as a matter of fact, as we faced the guidelines that that they were asking, that they were providing initially with this reporting cycle. The information that they had provided to begin with was not really tight enough for us, for it to be actionable, particularly at LACCD and at LAUSD. So we provided some feedback to the state, and with that, we got something a little bit more addressable, a little bit more manageable, if you would.
Yeah, because I think the concern is, certainly on the K-12 adult side, is that, when there's a lack of information, there can be folks who kind of fill in the blanks for us.
Yes.
We don't really want that to happen, because we know when that does happen, it's not always in the best interest, I think, in terms of adult ed state, but certainly for the LA area. So I don't know, I haven't, been a part of the webinars lately, but it seems like there's been very little to no information coming from the state.
It's true.
In this whole topic in terms of data collection accountability for this year, and obviously the school year has already started.
That is correct. As a matter of fact, there haven't been any webinars for the last 4 weeks, and the first one just took place a week ago. During that webinar, what was said in a nutshell was that we would be aligning with WIOA for all intents and purposes, number one, and number two, that more information on data and accountability would be provided at the summit. The webinar that is taking place today, from noon to one, actually was going to focus on the summit that is going to take place, of course, in November.
The committee that they had for data, I don't know if anyone on the field was with it, but that came out that on those nine, that we had those nine charts that we had to fill out, the
yes.
result of that. My understanding is the committee was advisory, and whoever chose it didn't maybe do everything the committee said. However, my point is going to be that they're establishing committees, which they did, which we weren't part of, and they're continuing to establish committees to make decisions about how it's going. I think it's really important that it's transparent in some way, that we have a way to be part of that and those decision making in input. Because otherwise we're told what to do and we don't have the input as to what really works for us in the field, in our communities, in our regions. So I don't know what we can do if we can work on that. I see how everybody feels about that, but I'd like it to be more transparent, the decisions that they're looking at making.
I just want to redirect us to something. We're discussing this as a part of item number 8, which was the quarterly expense and progress reports, and I kind of let it go on because it has to do with reporting, but possibly this is something that we may want to continue to discuss at our meeting in November, which would be right after the summit, and get a little progress report on that.
Right. Now, I do get the feeling, however, that we seem to be gearing towards perhaps having some immediate action in terms of contacting the state to request participation in these committees that are or work groups that are being created. So if that is the case, then I can certainly draft something, and perhaps we can have a conference call to address the particulars once the request has gone to you for your review, and we can agree on that in the next few days or in the next week or so that we can send it to them in preparation for the summit, and then hopefully be a part of at least some of the work groups that they're putting together. If that is okay, then we can proceed as stated.
So there's two issues I think we're talking about. One is the meeting, which I understand is going to take place on the 2nd, yes, which is on feedback about the preliminary data report to the legislature, where we had talked about asking our project manager and a member of the executive board to be a part of that. The other is this aligning of AEBG and WIOA and these work groups that are being created to address the blending of these two programs and are wanting input or to be a part of these work groups. Is that correct, Kathy?
Yeah. So that's the November 2nd. Those are the committee meetings. Before that, the October 31st due date of the information that's going to come through the State Department to the legislature, if we can somehow view whatever draft they might have on that.
So then, just to recap, we have three issues that we would like to address at this point. I'll draft statements for all of them, circulate it to you, get your approval, hopefully through a conference call, and then circulate them or send them over to the state. The first one has to do with the meeting on November 2nd, where you would like the...
The project manager
and hopefully with along with one of the executive team members as well. Second item is a request from LEREC to the AEBG state office to include a member of LEREC as part of the a member or more of LEREC as part of the work groups that they have or are in the process of creating in the state. And third, but
that's
not least,
the same as November 2nd, I think. I believe those two are the
yes,
same.
Yes.
Okay, and the third item is a request of a copy of the of a draft, perhaps, of the report that is to be turned into the state on December 31st.
I'm sure they're going to say no, but it's worth, I mean, I think we have to keep asking to be for inclusion.
Well, I think it's important for us to voice out our concerns so that moving forward, perhaps, you know, then they will be a little bit more thoughtful or inclusive on these items as well. Yes.
Okay. Any other comment on item number 8? And then we will go to number 9, public comment.
Okay. Public, do you
have
any comment?
Requests for public comment? There are no requests for public comment.
Seeing none, we now go to, we don't have any action items, so we do want to remind everyone that our next meeting is on November 4th at 1 p.m. at Vandy Camp, and we look forward to that. Also, do we have a reminder about the summit, which is on November 1st and 2nd?
Correct.
In Sacramento, and I know that I will be attending. And I want to clarify: Do we have some slots available for point persons to attend as well?
We have two specific slots, exactly. So,
okay.
As far as I know, those were given to us a couple of days ago. So I'm hoping that they're still available.
Okay. Okay. All right. So we have a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor of adjourning the meeting, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We are done for the day. Thank you for coming.